everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, the National Weather Service is saying that Tampa got very, very lucky. And that's a quote, because they have not taken a direct hit in the city of Tampa since 1921. And there was kind of a last hour to veer to the south, which really, really helped. And rather than the storm surge coming in, it actually pulled all the water out of the bay, which is a good thing
for Tampa. Because the spin of the storm was coming inland on the southern part, mm-hmm. but then on the northern part was coming off land back out to the ocean. So that, you're right.
Yeah. Kind of harkens back to my day where we took a direct hit on the island of St. Martin in 1996. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Ann and I sheltered in our hotel room for like 20 hours in St. Martin, taking a direct hit. And at one point, we actually got in the bathtub because we thought the glass was going to blow in at the hotel.
So is this Mother Nature telling everybody, get out of my oceans?
Oh, my gosh. So that was my only experience with a direct hit. I think it was a Category 2. And the sound of a hurricane, it was kind of like the sound of the ocean, you know, just this in and out of this wind blowing, and it just nonstop. And then the eye went right over us. And that was amazing. For like 20 minutes, the birds started singing again. Anyway, talking travel, and that's what I can do with Brian Kidd is here with me, and we're going to be talking every month about Tucson International Airport. And there's so much that goes into running an airport. I mean, Brian Kidd is the Deputy Chief of Strategic Marketing and Air Service Development for the Tucson Airport Authority and Tucson International Airport. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Bill.
Good to see you. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, you want me to tell travel stories the whole half hour? I could do it.
I'm sure the listeners would love it.
No, but I got a bunch of them over the years. Ann and I took three trips a year over 50 years, so we tracked a lot of real estate around the world. So I do love to travel, and actually going to be coming out to your fine facility on Monday. I'm going to take a couple of weeks off. Haven't really taken any time since May. I try to avoid Phoenix where I can. So I've got a good connection nonstop on Alaska up to Portland, your former stomping grounds. You did some time.
That's right.
Some time makes it sound like you did some time up
in
prison.
It's a nice airport.
You were up at Portland International Airport. So that's a good place for me to connect then on Alaska, then going up to Spokane, and then over to Coeur d'Alene, Lake Coeur d'Alene, to the resort there to hang out for a while. Looks like a beautiful spot.
Well, you'll have to give us a trip report next time.
I will. Okay. Next month, I'll give you a trip report. I do want to say we are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio, part of the Bustos Media team. We have five radio stations here under one roof. When we do our live line, our telephone interview is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. A lot goes into running an airport, and one of the things I wanted to do, we'd been doing these quarterly air service reports, but I think it really merits a visit with you and the team every month, because so much goes in. People don't think about it, but, I mean, you've got just your utility bills alone in running an airport, but you've got security, you have your own police department, you've got your own fire department. People don't realize this is a big operation.
That's right. I mean, 95% of the activities that are occurring are around operations. We are sort of the few folks that are trying to generate business, but there's so much to go just into keeping the doors open that we'd love to share with your listeners.
And you've had a pretty darn good year. Looking at kind of March to March, the load factor, that is how many people were, you know, filling the plane, was pretty high, wasn't it?
Right at the top of the list across the whole Western U.S. And the airlines see that, and then they see that there's more opportunity there, and then they add capacity, and that's where we are now, as we've benefited from that strong performance, and the airlines have come in and given us extra seats, which gives everybody more opportunities to use TUS now.
So the load factor is one of the keys that airlines look at, and you were in the, like, 85%, right?
Even more at peak
Even
times
more?
In the first quarter. Our period from especially February through April is really, really strong, but even last October was 86%. So, I mean, we just didn't have a lot of empty seats for that long stretch of time, and the airline saw that and gave us more right now. In fact, for the 6 months starting now, October through March, we're right at the top of the list again in terms of additional capacity. So, again, that gives us a challenge in that we have to fill those up, but that's all based on what happened last year, and the airlines recognizing that and seeing that we have more opportunity in this market for them.
Sacramento has been a kind of a market that you and the team, Brian Kidd, have looked at really for years, because it's really so, there's so many people that not only that live in the Sacramento area, I alone, myself, I've got relatives in the Sacramento area, and this is going to make it so much easier to go visit them with nonstop service. So Alaska jumped in, and then Southwest. Tell us about the evolution of the Sacramento.
So it's been at the top of my list since I've gotten here, because there, and I think COVID sort of jump-started Sacramento even further, because there are quite a few Bay Area residents who moved out to Sacramento post COVID, and that market has grown very quickly, whereas the Bay Area has stagnated. Mm-hmm. And so airlines like to go where they see a lot of economic growth. That's why places like Nashville and Boise also got extra service, but Sacramento, they're seeing the growth there, and they see the outbound demand to come down to southern Arizona. That was, from time to time, we have had service from Oakland over the years, but Sacramento is really the growth story now, and so Alaska's trying to build up that market. In California, they have to compete very heavily with Southwest, and every time Alaska does something on Southwest's turf in California, Southwest will respond, and that's what they're doing here, that's the way the business works. I think there's demand for everybody. Southwest are not running it daily, but Alaska is running it daily through April at this point, from January to April. We will, of course, want to see that season grow, but they've got to see good results while it's here. So if you have travel up that way in, you know, January through April, let's see if we can keep that flight performing strongly so that they'll extend the season the next cycle.
And the new route will be operated by Alaska and Southwest, but the Alaska flights will offer, that's going to be daily service, and that will begin right after the first of the year. January 6th, that kicks in, and that will run through April 21st. Then Southwest will join in on the route on March 8th of next year, and they'll operate on weekends only. Are they saying weekends only through the year?
I think they'll keep it going. This is the way Southwest usually works on a trial basis, is see how it does on the weekends.
6 months, or
they can keep. They'll stick it out for a while. It's not a big risk. Those planes were not doing much on the weekends anyway. So I think the hurdle to keep that going is not super high. But we, of course, want that to convert to more frequency. Whether there's room for two, we'll see. That'd be a big test, but I know there's room for one. So
yeah, and if skiers are listening, this is a great opportunity with the winter service to fly into Sacramento, rent a car, and then head up to Tahoe and hit some of the ski areas.
For sure. In fact, Sacramento markets themselves that way. I mean, mm-hmm. It's not that much, unless there's a blizzard going on, it's not that much farther than
it is from... In a couple of hours, you're going to be on the slopes and enjoying some of the finest skiing in the world in the Lake Tahoe area. So that's a great win for Tucson with Alaska. And Alaska's been happy so far anyway, Brian Kidd, with the service, daily service from Tucson to Orange County.
We made the cut at this, which is great. It was definitely a trial market, and we've survived another round. I mean, we'd like the season to be even longer, but Alaska has plenty of things to do with the aircraft in the summer, so we'll take what we can get, which is a 5-month run, and I just got the second quarter data in from earlier this year, and it looked pretty strong, so we're really pleased that survived. You know, we, as folks know from being in Tucson, we can't take anything for granted here. We have to earn our service and retain it. It's not always a slam dunk. So that was great news.
Yeah, because we do have to do a little harder sell than, say, Phoenix, which Phoenix is kind of an easy sell for trying to get new air service, because they can start, Brian Kidd, by just saying we're now, what, the sixth largest city in the United States in terms of population. I think the population of Phoenix is 4 to 5 million people. And when they continue to bring in all these, like the Taiwan Chip Group and all that, it kind of sells itself, doesn't it?
It's we're not really in competition with them. We're in competition for our local travelers to use Tucson versus Sky Harbor. But when you're pitching to the airlines, we're not competing on the same routes. We're just completely different size category. They have 9 times as many origin destination passengers, which are people that are either beginning or ending their trip in Phoenix, as does TUS. So what we're competing against is the airline deciding that they want to capture the Tucson customer in Phoenix, which we really don't want to have happen.
Right. Brian Kidd is with us. This is our monthly report about what's going on at Tucson International Airport. But right now, I want to talk a little bit about my favorite bakery, Brian, Mona's Danish Bakery. Do you like bakery goods?
That's a great place.
It is a great place, home of the Danish Kringle. I was up there visiting with Steve and the team on Sunday. I was up there, and they've got... an added enhancement, Brian. They now have the liquor license, so you can do a mimosa with your breakfast, or they're pouring different domestic beers. I think I'm not a beer drinker myself, but I know Firestone's a really popular beer out of the Central Valley at San Pasas Robles. Steve and the team are pouring Firestone. And then for the imported beer, Peroni is their beer out of Italy. So check it out, Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. More travel talk. Talking with Brian Kidd of Tucson International Airport after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson gardeners trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. On average, the Regional Transportation Authority annually contributes over $100 million to regional transportation improvements to supplement limited federal and state funds. This critical funding source provides funding for nearly two-thirds of our region's needed transportation improvements through its 2006 voter-approved half-cent sales tax. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and we're talking travel and air travel here on the Buckmaster Show. And we are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. And speaking of travel, I want to do a quick shout out to one of our great sponsors. And you can't fly over there. I guess you could fly to Silver City, but I don't think you can fly there from Tucson. But most people that we talk to here on the Buckmaster Show, and we send a lot of listeners over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, do the three-hour drive. It's approximately 3 hours from Tucson, and everybody we send over there has a great time. Many people never been over to Silver City. It's over in that southwest corner of New Mexico, and personally, I love New Mexico, the land of enchantment, especially this time of year. Look at that, 84 degrees is the midday temperature over in Silver, and you're going to get a great experience. Look at the nighttime lows. Tom just pulled up the 7 day over there, mid-40s next week, so it's perfect if you want a little autumn weather. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org for your trip over to Silver City. And for your trip by air, I strongly recommend, and I always try to fly out of Tucson International Airport, which is designated TUS. Brian Kidd is here from Tucson International Airport. Brian's new title, want to get this straight, Brian, get it right for you, Deputy Chief of Strategic Marketing and Air Service Development. And we're going to be doing a half hour with Tucson International Airport every month. We were doing a quarterly service, but not, we're like the airlines. Maybe just occasionally, but now we're going to do daily, we're going to do monthly service with Tucson International Airport on the Buckmaster Show. So, Brian, Portland, where you spent some time with their fine airport up there, and they've done some really nice additions up there. Alaska's pretty much committed right now to Tucson, to Portland.
So Alaska really pulled down Portland after the COVID downdraft, and they've realized they have put their market at risk there, so they're building it back up. And part of that is that they've given us two flights a day on peak days starting shortly. We have one now. It'll be two shortly and two all the way through March, and then and the season will end in late April. But we really have... We have a good size market there. It's really too small for a gigantic 737, but too big for a 76-seat aircraft. So they've given us two 76-seat aircraft, the E-175, which is a great plane.
I love that 175 plane.
I think everybody will find that to be a very nice ride, and not uncomfortable at all, very comfortable. And with two a day, it gives you a better choice of itineraries and some connections, and just can capture more people that at Tucson rather than have them look at Phoenix. the other connections from Tucson to Portland may not be all that great, so Alaska's got a real advantage there. We've been working with Southwest to try to improve their connections, connection times and layovers and so forth to Portland, but they definitely left the door open for Alaska, and they took it.
Yesterday, we had our travel talk with our friend Ryan Hansen, one of our great sponsors from Bon Voyage Travel, and we were talking a little bit, Brian Kidd, about Southwest. They're looking at some changes, aren't they, about boarding and everything. And I asked Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage if he'd heard anything about when these were going to be implemented. Maybe you can shed some light. Do you have any idea when Southwest is going to go into this different boarding? And
right, yeah. So it's going to be a hard cutover. So there, one day it's going to be unassigned seating, and the next day it'll be assigned seating. They don't have firm dates yet. A lot of this won't happen until 2026 in terms of actual on-the-ground assigned boarding. So next year they'll be working on red eyes and reconfiguring the fleet. So there'll be a period of time where they've changed the seating configuration on the aircraft, but it's still assigned seating. So if you get one of those A boarding passes, you're going to have a very luxurious experience because you'll get to find a extra legroom seat for no extra cost. Now, yeah, that'll change once they've got everything ready to go, and they'll be trying to upgrade people in terms of seating. They are maintaining the bags fly free, which is going to be their big differentiator still, but the on-board experience will start to feel a lot like the other major carriers.
I like that extra leg room. That's why I try to pay a little extra to be in that first boarding group, because there's one particular seat. Well, there'd be two seats, one on each side of the aircraft. Brian, you know where I'm going with that. That's that seat that doesn't have anything in front of you.
That's right.
So you've got all that leg room.
Yeah. That's the pro tip.
Yeah, those are the, yeah, that's a pro tip from Buckmaster. There are two great seats on Southwest, and man, if you can nab those, grab them, because they're the best. So Southwest is operating to Chicago Midway still, correct, Brian King?
Yes, that's going strong. In fact, it just went to daily service, and that's a one of our key connecting points into the Southwest network, going even beyond Chicago. So they have a big hub there, and it's a good place to connect. It's really nice. If you haven't been there in a while, it's a really nice terminal they have now. It's not like the old days. Perfectly modern, all modern facilities. So don't be afraid to connect there.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Chicago, and Midway kind of had a, like, oh, I don't know if I want to go Midway.
Right.
But they've really upgraded that airport,
yeah,
haven't they?
It's perfectly nice. Just as nice as Houston or Dallas Love.
And really Dallas Love Field, Southwest, is still operating daily?
It's coming back daily. We'd love it to stick to daily all year round. That's a very coveted spot. Love Field is constrained, so for Tucson to get one of those departure slots is a big win. Of course, American also flies to DFW 6 to 7 times a day from Tucson, and our biggest market, as it has been for a long time, just in terms of seats.
Yeah, Americans kind of been the primo in terms of seats, right?
And now they have a little bit of competition. Dallas, of course, a gigantic market, and we have lots of demand to and from there.
We haven't talked about Minneapolis-St. Paul. The airport code there is MSP, which makes sense.
Still seasonal. Delta and Sun Country slug it out in Minneapolis to a variety of destinations. Sun Country is doing very well. You should give them a try. Delta keeps them honest. Sun Country tries to look for some lower price points sometimes, but they literally fly the same times in the same season almost every year here. But the good news for us is we have competition, and we have more than daily service throughout the winter. So if you combine the two, so plenty of options there for anybody traveling up to that way. And, of course, with Delta's hub there, you can get beyond Minneapolis to a number of other
Europe
destinations, exactly.
Europe or Asia.
Yeah. And of course, in the winter, we have most of the flow is southbound. But, if you have reason to go up there, we have plenty of service.
It's interesting, airport codes, why Tucson is T-U-S and not like, you know, T-U-C. People get that mixed up. Do you have any idea why that happened?
T-U-C was taken by a airport in Argentina, actually, originally. They beat us to it a long time ago. We're left with this strange code. The reason we make a big deal about it, though, in addition to it being a little odd, is that some of the search engines, if you just type in Tucson, they tend to give you Phoenix options too, and we don't.
Right.
We really want you to shop for TUS, so you just get Tucson options. So from our perspective, we don't want to compare ourselves to Phoenix because we're going to have a lot of competition.
And
once
that's why
happens.
In your marketing, and you it's flytus.com.
We use TUS a lot, and that's a change from what it used to be. But part of the reason is for online search. You type in Tucson, it opens up a whole range of other options we don't want to have put out there.
All right. Brian Kidd, always a pleasure, and we'll look forward to talking travel from Tucson International Airport every month here on the show. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. See you next month.
All right. Take a break right here. Coming up next, it's our Sun Corridor CEO interview series, and Joe Snell will be my guest, and we'll be talking economic development with Mr. Snell right after this break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The extraordinary beauty and craftsmanship of Mexican artisans is yours at Clay and Cloth in Barrio Viejo, featuring gorgeous clay pottery sourced from southern Mexico, including Oaxaca, Puebla, Merida, and Hidalgo. Also discover amazing textiles you won't find anywhere else in Tucson. Clay and Cloth also has an incredible selection of new Dia de los Muertos merchandise. See the selection on Instagram at Mad Max the Dog Shop and visit Clay and Cloth. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 310 South Convent, just south of Cushing. It's time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of $36 billion, with more than 200 company locates and expansions supporting 57,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
And joining us on the live line for this month's CEO interview is Joe Snell, the CEO and president of Sun Corridor Inc. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Hey, Bill, how are you? I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's our pleasure. Big day yesterday, the kind of kicking off the 20th anniversary of Sun Corridor at the annual luncheon. How did that go, Joe Snell?
Well, it went pretty well. You know, I'm really pleased to report that, in essence, our economy is really healthy, and the future, you know, is bright as I see it. You know, we've got companies that are in the area that are profitable. Unemployment is at a historic low. We're creating manufacturing jobs at a pace that exceeds both Arizona and Phoenix. So it was all good. And, you know, I look at it, and I am fortunate to see that we have a healthy pipeline of companies with semiconductor and aerospace and clean energy. And I'm just really proud of that. And, you know, looking back over 20 years, it always wasn't like that. That strength wasn't the case. You know, 20 years ago when we were established, there was we were mainly call centers in that pipeline. So a lot has changed in the last 20 years, and so it was fun to celebrate it.
Boy, I remember when you were just getting started, and I interviewed on my TV show, when we were talking about how Sun Corridor Inc. was going to evolve. Let's go back to that and how you have progressed, Joe, the blueprint of how things evolved, really, over the past couple of decades.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Bill. Somebody asked me the question, you know, did you think you'd be here in 20 years? And I said, no, I don't think anybody did. You know, seriously, there was an active pool in the community betting on how long we'd survive. And I think the outside bet was 4 years because, you know, we've had a lot of past failures in regional economic development. We went through several organizations. I don't think any of them lasted past 6 years. So we're pleased to go, 20 years and going strong. And I think you're right. You know, the blueprint was the first major building block for us. And that really, you know, was important because what we needed to do with that blueprint is decide which industries would shape our future. So we went through a pretty exhaustive exercise. We did a perception study to understand where we're perceived as competitive or not back then, and really, I think, set a, you know, a strong foundation. If you don't have a foundation, you don't have nothing's going to hold up. So I think doing the right amount of planning in the early years has really produced dividends.
Yeah, and I think back of my, 37 years now in this community. I guess I'm the last person standing in the media going that long. And I do remember those economic development organizations that preceded Sun Corridor Inc. And you're right, 5 or 6 years and they were gone. What do you think makes what you guys are doing different at Sun Corridor Inc.?
Well, I think some of it's the way we structured a little different. We, for the most part, there wasn't a lot of buy-in from the private sector during those previous groups, from what I could see. And I wasn't here, but you had a lot of participants, but not a lot of skin in the game, not a lot of funding with that. And so something we were very focused on was making sure that Sun Corridor was a true public private partnership with government support, but really academic support from the universities, but really important to have that private sector voice in there. So I think that's what's made the difference is they're pretty steady if they see results. You got to prove it to them, but I think that's what's kept us so long is we're driven pretty heavy by the private sector in what we do.
And one thing that was different, Tucson wasn't in the name. The previous groups all had Tucson in the name. Why did you and the team, Joe Snell, select Sun Corridor Inc.?
Well, we started off as TRIO, Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities, and we made the decision to go with Sun Corridor Inc. as it was recognized as one of the leading growth corridors in North America. So we felt that that was a good timing. We could do a lot of branding around that, and it's panned out for us. We're seen as a very recognizable premier economic development group in North America at this point.
Tell us a little bit about this trying to be a very competitive place to bring new business to Tucson and keep what we have here. Tell us about the competitiveness project.
Sure. Well, like I said, we're talking about the 20 years. We've done a lot of good in the 20 years. The 211 locates and expansions, 59,000 jobs supported, $39 billion in economic impact. That's all good. We've had a lot of good things happen. We've had some misses. We've had some, missed opportunities, but a lot of successes. And that's great, but what are we going to do the next 20 years? And that's what I started looking at last year. The past is the past, but what's the future look like? And we do know that over the last several years, really with COVID and everything, that fundamental shifts in the economy have impacted not only what we're competing for, the types of companies, but how we compete. So it led me to thinking about the need to embark on an effort to better understand our competitiveness, to understand how leaders perceive our strengths and weaknesses. So I tasked our team to go out and garner feedback from two primary audiences, an internal audience. So we did a lot of focus groups, one-on-ones with local leaders across all sectors, and asked them, how are we competitive? What are we doing right as a community? What are we doing wrong? What do we need to work on? And then we did the same thing with external influencers. We call them site selectors. And we went and asked them, what do you think of us? What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? And Bill, at the end of the day, we did the same thing 20 years ago. And so what's interesting is when we compare what's changed over 20 years. And I think the other thing is, what's interesting is to when they line up with the external people view the perceptions of our competitiveness and the internal people. So we took a year to do that. We touched hundreds and hundreds of people inside the market, outside the market, and we have a pretty comprehensive report that will be available on our website shortly. But so that was really the process. And I'll tell you, from my perspective, the really positive news is that our assets, the perceived assets and strengths, far outnumber any things we need to work on. And I think that's great. I sort of expected that from the locals because we all live here. We know what a wonderful place it is. But I was shocked, actually, to see how overwhelming positive thoughts on this market came from the outside site selectors. Because I can tell you 20 years ago, that was just not the case. They did not see us as a very good business market. So that was, for me, really, really critical that they found so many positive things. So I'll give you a couple. If you want a couple.
Yeah, I do. I do want to hear what they're saying. What are some of the positives? What do they see as some of the assets?
I'll tell you, Bill, the one that stood out is they love downtown. They love the renaissance of the downtown. And it's important when they go to attract talent, and that wasn't the case 20 years ago. The outsiders in particular really loved downtown, and 20 years ago they wouldn't even stay down there if there was a hotel. So that we have done a great job as a community of revitalizing our downtown core. Maybe not surprisingly, both the University of Arizona and Pima Community College, specifically their centers of excellence, are seen as absolutely critical to our future. So they wouldn't even touch us without these higher education institutions. So those two stood out as positives. Our population growth, very important, especially for the outsiders, because it means people are moving in. You know, a market that has out-migration stands no chance if people are leaving. And then the one that was seen really important to both internal and external audiences was our proximity to Mexico is seen as a huge asset for us, that it can be a game changer. But with a footnote that we need to have an economic strategy, not just what we've always had, which is a cultural connection. So we had our speaker in yesterday, the former ambassador to United States from Mexico, to talk about how we can capture that. You know, Arizona has always been a top trading partner with Mexico, but now the United States, that is our number one trading partner. So a lot of opportunities were seen with us being a border state and Tucson being very close to the border. So those are a couple things that really stood out.
It's interesting. We had Fletcher McCusker on the program on Monday. Yeah. Joe Snell and Fletcher and I were talking about the evolution of the downtown hotel, how pretty much now we've got every brand imaginable, all the top brands downtown, and how now people want to live downtown, not only younger people, but retirees are coming from Saddlebrook. They like to be able to walk. They want to go to the opera. They want to go to the symphony. It is finding housing downtown is becoming, it's at a premium.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. You know, my oldest kid moved here from Denver, and she said something she loves it downtown. Of course, the age group really, you know, they like that activity. And she said, you know, Dad, this reminds me of what happened in Denver when it was exploding several years ago, one block at a time. I said, exactly. So it's not just my family seeing it. It's a lot of people seeing it, and I'm proud of it. I think we've done a good job as a community of rolling up our sleeves and making something happen.
Yeah, and before we take a quick break, we just had Brian Kidd from Tucson International Airport for the first half hour of the show today, and it's very positive. A lot of this service up to Portland and over to Orange County, these are, of course, things that site selectors look at, air service.
Sure, sure. Air service is important, and you know, safety, like I say, things to do. Talent drives all market decisions, and so what site selectors are looking for is, can they fill the jobs necessary? And with a low unemployment, you better have a good community that people will move to, or you don't have a chance.
All right, so, Joe Snell, stick around. We'll talk with you after we take a quick break. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. In 2006, Pima County voters approved the Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year Regional Transportation Plan and half-cent sales tax. They are both effective through June 30th, 2026. For the region to receive continued funding for another 20 years, the RTA is developing a new plan and tax extension for voter consideration. Public input will be key. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We continue now with our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor, Inc., and the CEO and president of Sun Corridor, Inc. is with us on the live line, Joe Snell. A big announcement was made at your 20th anniversary annual luncheon yesterday. What's going on, Joe Snell?
Well, you know, when we, I was just talking about how many positive things, and there were some things that were identified that we probably needed to put a little elbow grease in and work on. And one of the things that came up, especially from the local leadership, is they were very, very concerned that we had too many business groups. There's, you know, right now over 20 related business organizations like Sun Corridor in the area.
Wow.
And the feedback through all these focus groups was we'd better align these groups to create a unified voice that, I guess to put it in their words, is that we've got dilution right now. Mm-hmm. And it's really hampered our ability to get stuff done. So for example, we led a large delegation to D.C. in the spring, and one of our leading elected officials said, "Boy, I'm getting sick of having you guys all come to me individually. You guys ought to come together because you're really mm-hmm. really diluted in the message." So we heard that over and over and over, and so what it really led us to is to come to the conclusion that the time was pretty good to start looking at bringing these organizations in tighter alignment. So with that, Sun Corridor, Inc. and the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce announced yesterday that we've entered into a due diligence process to explore a partnership between the two organizations.
Mm.
And yeah, I think that's big. That we thought the environment is ripe really for this synergetic alliance between really the two biggest business organizations in Southern Arizona. So, I can tell you both boards thought it was a pretty good idea to explore and work through it. I'm old enough, Bill, to remember, and it's a natural fit, Economic Development Chambers of Commerce, because all economic development organizations were born out of chambers of commerce.
Right.
I saw it in the late 80s and 90s when I was a younger guy, where they were splitting out, and now across the country they're all rejoining each other. So I think it's for this unification and lack of duplication type of play. So that's where we're at. We've set a very aggressive timeline over the next few months. Both boards have committed to work through the issues of what would a structure look like, what would an operating plan look like, and we've got a target date of January 1st to coming to some conclusions on this. So very big news for, I think, this community. And actually had a leader in Phoenix say, this is exactly what we got to do too. So mm-hmm. I think we're thinking outside the box with this.
So the two organizations would be under one banner or under one roof, so to speak?
Well, I think we'd tie them together somehow. We don't know that. Mm-hmm. Could be there's a lot of possibilities. Could be one organization under one brand. It could be a holding company with two separate organizations, but tied at the top somehow, so mm-hmm. that we're coordinating better. You know, there's a lot of different pathways to look at this. So I think that's what we're going to roll up our sleeves and figure out.
We talked in the first segment with you, Joe Snell, about the strengths and assets, and you've shared with us that one of the reasons you're exploring this alliance is that there was the dilution. What are some of the other challenges going forward are we facing in this community, Joe?
Well, a couple of them, and again, I'm so pleased that the assets and the strengths so far outnumbered the challenges. But every community has challenges. So I think the one that came up, and this was interesting, both outsiders and insiders said our roads are in not good shape.
Right.
And we've heard this a lot.
Right.
But it's a little concerning when the outsiders see it too. They said your roads just are not up to par, and they need to be fixed. So we've got to find a way to get that done, and that's been plaguing us for a while now. So that's one issue. The other one is frankly we're missing some opportunities, because a lot of the projects that we're dealing with right now are looking for large tracts of land, and I mean 3 to 1,000 acres.
Wow.
Tracts of land under one university. Yeah, and that's just where the markets have changed. And the challenge we face is most of those large land tracts are currently owned by the state of Arizona, state land.
Hmm.
And we have a much higher percentage of our state land or large tracts of property owned by the state than anywhere else in the state. So Phoenix does not have as much of this concentrated in the state of Arizona hands. So we've got to find a way to get some of this into private hands. And so we're going to look at that and turn to some of our partners to help us with that, because plain and simple, we're just missing key opportunities, because they're not going to wait for small owners to come together and build a coalition. They'll just bypass us and then go somewhere else.
And I was going to say that warehousing, some of these warehouses are being built on spec, and there's so much interest that they're gobbled up. It's a huge area for you, isn't it?
It is. And you know, 10 years ago, I want to call it, you know, Schnitzer Properties, Jordan Schnitzer in particular, we were facing sort of, you know, lack of spec buildings like we are land opportunities. And we found him, and he's hard, you know, they're building all kinds of buildings now, and, you know, and as fast as they build them, we're filling them with companies. So, I mean, it's all good for the market. But the land stuff, you know, it's the next hurdle that we've got to tackle, and I think we can get there. The other one that's, I think, really important is, and one that I think could really hamper our ability to compete, is we're facing a shortage of physicians in this community.
Mm, yeah.
In real critical areas.
Yeah.
And I'll say, although Arizona, the nation, and even Phoenix face these shortages of physicians, it's more of a crisis here. It's more acute here. So this is something that if a community can't provide adequate health care, and they can't, people can't go to, if they have to drive to Phoenix for certain doctors, that's not good. So I think we can address this. So what we've done is we've asked Judy Rich, who just recently retired as CEO of Tucson Medical Center. We won't let her retire. we're asked her to spearhead an effort to help recruit physicians to this market. So Judy is actively, and she's doing it under the Sun Corridor brand, she's putting together a group of key players from the area hospital CEOs to physician groups to the medical schools, Pima County, you know, the health department, and they're going to sit down and really roll up their sleeves and address this issue. So we're very grateful for Judy for taking the time to you know, we're, it's like the old movie I told her, you know, the Godfather 3, where they said, you know, just when I'm out, they're dragging me back in. That's what we're doing to Judy. We're going to, we told her she can't retire, so she's got to work on this.
All right. Good conversation, Joe Snell at Sun Corridor, Inc. Thank you, Joe, for your support and everything you're doing for the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Have a good day.
Thanks a lot. Joe Snell heads up Sun Corridor, Inc. You can find out more about his organization at suncorridorinc.com. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill wishing everybody well.